There's a thousand pretty women living out there. They're all living, the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a line of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. This is John Katzlamitas. I write the Cats Report, Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly. I write for The Sunday, which is a news magazine produced by Greenspun Media Group, which comes out on the Sunday, except when it comes out on the Saturday. Joining me, as always, the reliably gorgeous Trisha McCrone. Trish, take it away. Ho.
Hi, thank you. Woo. And Trisha McCrone from Cleveland, which I have not mentioned in a very, very long time. That let's talk about my Browns for a second.
Okay, let's talk about my 49ers, too.
Okay, but the what Browns, are the Browns have not? Been no, the, nothing
no,
for
let's
years.
No, let's do talk about the Browns.
You know, and they are, I mean, they feasibly could have won every single game that they played. The mm-hmm. two that they lost were so close that they could have won. And we haven't had this kind of a season since we lost the team, you know, in the 90s.
Right. They're good. They are good this year. Yep. The Browns are good. Johnny Manziel. Let me ask you this, Browns fan. Friend or foe?
It's right now it's a hype, and I think it's great because there is a lot of hype, but obviously he's not contributing to the team yet.
He's had one snap all year,
exactly.
Right?
So it's like, but then again, I mean, that was always the question. Will somebody that's used to, having to throw with a defensive line coming at you that is, you know, of college students as opposed to professional NFL players, that, you know, I mean, would he be able to handle it? Would he be able to? And, you know, he's a rookie. And I mean, mm-hmm. and that I do believe that he is a future star of the Browns. And I think that it's getting us a lot of attention and attention that's deserved because we're doing well.
Mm-hmm. And, it's an interesting thing. His jerseys sell like crazy. Yeah. I go around these.
And he's got the commercial, Johnny Football.
Right. Yeah. And he has yet to do anything in the NFL, but here he comes. You know, and this is, and you were right about one thing about NFL competition. It's a lot bigger and a lot faster than college.
Exactly. And I believe that he will grow into being the leader of our team, but it's going to, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. And mm-hmm. luckily, and I think that he brought attention to us, and luckily we're rising to the occasion. So
they beat the Steelers 31-10.
Yeah, it was. What the crazy one was last week, was it against, oh my gosh, now I can't even think of it.
Their comeback win over the, who were they playing, the Saints? No.
No. It
Rams.
Was the,
who did they have
no,
last
no,
week?
No. Oh my gosh, I can't remember who it was in the South somewhere.
Panthers.
Was it?
No. I'll find it.
No, it was, I have no idea. But anyways, the comeback was amazing. Like, it kind of reminded me of when I was a kid, the Cardiac Kids.
Right.
We used to, they called the, it was the years of the Cardiac Kids, or we would always come back in the last, 10 minutes of the game and win the game in those years. I don't remember if it was Brian Sipe or.
Yeah, Sipe was a quarterback
I think
then.
Sipe was mm-hmm. the quarterback, and I was a little kid. And I mean, and I just remember, like, it would be amazing. And they've kind of done that this year. It's kind of, except for with the Steelers, we just kicked butt, which mm-hmm. considering that rivalry, I actually have a scar on my hand as a little kid at the Browns Steelers game. I got injured as a child and I still have the scar. I did. I was in our seats. We had season tickets. I was hit by someone threw a full beer can. It came down on my head. And while my dad was carrying me to the, somebody burn my hand with a cigarette.
Oh my God! It was the Titans that came back.
Yes, I knew it was something down mm-hmm. south, Tennessee Titans.
So they're 3-2, the Cleveland Browns.
And it could have easily been 5-0, but it isn't. But the good thing is that they're doing well.
They've won more than they lost, and the only what you need to do now is start betting.
I know I did. But I did bet. I put a bet on. Believe it or not, I don't think they're going to do it this year. But I put a bet on the Cavs, obviously with LeBron being back. And I put a bet on the Giants.
Okay, so you have money on the Giants now, currently?
Yes.
To win the World Series?
Yes.
Okay, how much did you bet?
It was only like $40.
Okay, well, then you're standing to win a lot of money. You could hedge that bet right now and start betting against the Giants and win money that. You could win money either way.
Well, no, then that's, I understand it, but it's not about the money. It's about, but the crazy thing is
that's a hell of a bet.
Is that the Cavs are, like, they're favored to win.
Which I think is crazy. Are short, but the Giants, the numbers were probably pretty long. I would say they were somewhere in the 10-1 range.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I can't believe that their favorite. I mean, the season hasn't even started, but just because of LeBron.
Well, that's favored, how great LeBron James is.
Yeah, they're favored to win the whole thing. I don't think it'll happen this year, but I do believe that he will bring a ring to the hometown.
Yeah, I believe that they are instantly a championship contender because of him. Yeah, he's a championship talent.
Welcome back, darling LeBron.
But yeah, meantime, my 49ers this Sunday are in Denver, and that's going to be a tough task.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Denver. Sorry, Denver.
Yeah, so it's going to be but that's happening. I think it's a Sunday night game. So yeah, I got to find a good place to watch a game. I've watched games at the, you know where it has a cool setup for NFL is the Stratosphere up in their showroom. Really cool.
Really?
Yeah, it's really awesome. And Westgate also has a really cool thing. Those are just
well, Westgate
blind
is
plugs.
Always back when it was the Las Vegas Hilton. Mm-hmm. They had the best sports book I thought at the time in all of Las Vegas. I don't know if that's still the case.
It's still pretty formidable. I need to renovate it. But my buddy Jay Cornegay runs that sports book, and he is a diehard Broncos fan who still wears an old school John Elway jersey.
Well, I still hate John Elway.
Oh yeah. Well.
As a matter of fact, instead of Life is a Highway in Cleveland, we had the song I Hate John Elway. Swear to God, it played every week as a kid.
With that, let's get to the show, shall we?
Yeah, it's something that has in common NFL and Eric Jordan Young. So much in common. I can't honestly put it together. But
like
I don't
Johnny
know
Manziel, he's a triple threat.
There you go.
We have coming
although we've yet to see
next.
What Johnny Manziel can do.
Yeah, that's right. Well, this man, Eric Jordan Young, is not sitting on the bench.
No,
that's
he
for
has proven
sure,
himself time and time again.
He's going to be talking about his show, Shaken. It's that he's opening, has just now opened, over at Sin City Theater at Planet Hollywood. And he's going to be talking all about that challenge and the wonderful showcase that he's put together. So stick around. I know we will.
We love Las Vegas. We love Las Vegas.
Hi, this is Clint Holmes, and you are listening to Cats with the Dish, or vice versa.
There's a thousand further women living out there. They're all living, the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is the star of a new show on the Strip, which is called Shaken. Classic Vegas remixed with a twist. It plays daily at 5:30 p.m. Wednesdays through Sundays at Sin City Theater at Planet Hollywood on the mezzanine level across from the old Peep Show showroom. Welcome back to Cats the Dish, the uber-talented and thrice-monikered Eric Jordan Young.
Wow.
That was really good.
I came up with a lot of that off the top of my head.
Yeah, but whenever you say Uber now, I think he drives a car service.
Classic.
Right? We don't have Uber in Las Vegas. Another show for another time.
Not yet.
When we do, I'll be taking Uber to see your show.
There you go. To see the Uber talented.
Drive me up to the mezzanine, Mr.
Exactly.
Uber.
And I also have to add, because there are... For those of us who are the Rhodesian Ridgeback enthusiasts like I am and Wayne Newton is and not a lot of other people, but I don't know a lot of people that are Rhodesian people. And I have Maya and Margaret, and Eric Jordan Young has the most beautiful babies that are also Rhodesian Ridgebacks. So I have to give love to his children.
Thank you. They are my heart. I absolutely love them so much. And actually, their names are Keely and Pasha, and those names were inspired by Louis Prima and Keely Smith. And we actually were going to have a boy and a girl. And we got a girl first and named her Keely, and then we were going to have a boy and name him Louie, but we decided to name her Pasha once we decided that we
got a girl. And mine's in Margaret, so...
I know.
Isn't that crazy? Like, we just, like, all throwback.
Showbiz people.
From Vegas to show. These dogs
exactly.
are named for
there
characters in Vegas to show. Speaking of all that.
The last time you were here, you were talking about leaving Vegas the show and how you were going to go out on your own, and you were so excited about it.
Right.
And here it is. How excited are you?
I'm beyond excited. Honestly, it's it's a testament to claiming something and that you want to do it. And I'm a very driven person, and I've always been very ambitious, and I just wanted to see this through. And I wasn't kidding when I spoke to you before.
No, yeah.
I was not just fronting and coming in here and saying that I wanted to do something special. I meant it, and it's happening now.
You left Vegas the show in was it April?
March.
March.
Yes.
And from that point, you put together a single showcase at Cabaret Jazz.
Yes,
right.
I did.
And take us through the development of how you went from that show to what you are putting on stage at Planet Hollywood.
Well, you know, I wanted to perform at the Smith Center in that space at the Cabaret Jazz because it is one of the most glorious spaces, honestly, in the country. That venue is so beautiful, and the sound in there is impeccable. And I wanted to, first of all, just sing in there and be on that stage and have the opportunity to perform for the community. But I also had this kind of feeling that I needed to present myself as a solo artist in Las Vegas. And so I thought, why not do it at the Smith Center and get up there and sing some songs that I try out some songs that I want to put that are actually in Shaken and some songs that are not in Shaken. And I put it together and I had a really, really great time. I had an 8-piece band, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. Some of the best players in town. And I did songs from Michael Bublé's Home to Stephen Sondheim's Putting It Together to Downtown, which I had an incredible arrangement written by Dave Richardson, which actually made the Shaken show as
right.
well.
Dave from Santa Fe and the Fat City Horns and
exactly.
also the MD over at Rock of Ages. And your MD at the Cab Jazz show was Michael Gonzalez.
That's right.
From Gossie's band. So you're bringing in some very,
heavy
very
hitters.
Serious,
yeah.
honestly, some serious musicians to help you out. And to put this all together, tell us about the construction of what is in Shaken, what you're singing.
Well, I've always been such a fan, a huge fan of the TV variety show of the 70s and early 80s, I guess you could say, late 60s too. And I wanted to bring my own voice to that genre and to the stylized entertainment presentation of Las Vegas. So I put a bunch of songs together that I absolutely love, that are definitively from the American classic songbook, you know, mm-hmm. Songs like That Old Black Magic, anything, Downtown, like I said. I'm doing a lot of things that inspired me when I was younger. And I took them and I just put it in a pot and I said, you know what, I want to entertain with these songs, and they may not be songs that people identify as being new material, mm-hmm. but if I could put a modern spin on it.
So that's the twist. I was going to ask you what the twist is.
Yeah, so I took classic
I thought you were doing tunes. Like the Chubby Checker song or something.
Oh, no. I took classic tunes and I remixed them and twisted them to be in a modern showcase, basically. And then I did that with the structure of the show as well. So it's filled with sketches and skits and many different characters. And I'm doing music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and even, you know, the 2000s. So it's a big collage of showmanship, I guess you could say. And I have a 4-piece band, which is kicking booty right now. I have two gorgeous, beautiful dancers mm-hmm. with me who are shaking it every night on stage. And I just have a lot of color in this show, and I'm following the format that is not really synonymous with Las Vegas. I guess it's the structure of a Las Vegas show in particular, but I kind of went off of what the TV variety show, like a mm-hmm. Carol Burnett show or a Flip Wilson mm-hmm. show or Sonny and Cher would do.
And you still were the fantastic Sonny. I'll never get past that. I loved you as Sonny in Vegas the show. It was like my perfect image. I loved it.
I like that you loved it. And wait till you see what I'm doing in this show, because it's a little bit off center, but it's a lot of fun. And, you know, I just really wanted to do something different and at the same time celebrate and uphold the talents that I have and use them to the fullest degree. And that's what I'm doing in Shaken.
Now, how did it come about that you did this at the Smith Center, that this was set up at the V Theater? Like, where did that all, or Sin City, I guess the Sin City Comedy Theater. I keep wanting to call it the V Theater. So how did it come about that it went from there to there?
Well, you know, the show that I did at the Smith Center, I called that show Once in a Lifetime. And it was just a show that was more of a, I guess you could say it had a cabaret presentational feel to it. I didn't dance as much. It was more about my vocal ability and my interpretation of song, whereas this show is more about my abilities as a dancer, as a character sketch artist, and as a vocalist as well. It is a show that combines the energies of the people that I'm on stage with in a more direct and uniform way than the Smith Center show did. When I was singing with the 8-piece band at the Smith Center, it was just a glorious, amazing moment in time, and we were all making music together. Shaken, this is more of a production show. So it has production numbers, and the band members are more like cast members. They have roles in the show that they play, and everybody has a moment to stand out and shine.
How do you like the room? What it has in common with cabaret jazz is about the same seating capacity. That's about where it ends. It's a whole different setup there, with you, you know, on stage and facing the audience right in front of you. How has it been so far in your preview period, dealing with the audiences and just to speak to the quality of the room?
It's very different because I'm especially coming from playing a larger stage over at the Sax Theater. I was very up and out. So my focus was out to the house, and my eye level was very different than at the Sin City Theater, which is a place
intimate.
Where I can, it's very intimate. I don't really have the opportunity to hide, which is a wonderful thing because it keeps my relationship with the audience members so not just intimate, but we're breathing together, literally breathing as one. So the performance is very private. It's very one-on-one. And I think the audience feels that the performance is specially for them. You know, that's the cool thing about this show. But I have to change my whole the way that I relate to the audience, in that I have the opportunity to really look down. Maybe, you know, in the past, I come from a musical theater background, so I've played a lot of different Broadway houses, and you have to keep your focus up and out.
Project to the balcony.
Project to the balcony, exactly. But this is a different thing, and that's one of the reasons why I love playing Vegas, is because you get the opportunity to really look people in their eyes and communicate with them and sing to them or play to them and get a direct response that isn't over the orchestra pit. It's right in your face, you know.
And it must be, just as an entertainer, so much of what makes an entertainer as opposed to just somebody that's talented is that relationship that you can connection to the audience. And a lot of times, like it was in Vegas, the show, or when you do Broadway, you're stuck to a very religious script. Mm-hmm. You don't get to go off and kind of be yourself and break the wall. So is this stuck to a structure, or do you have a lot of time to just break that wall and interject to the audience?
That's an awesome question, actually, because that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this project. And it's really quite amazing that it's called Eric Jordan Young, Shaken Classic Vegas Remix with a Twist, because it's my show. I can change it and alter it and do whatever I want. And the way that I built it, I made it malleable so that it can have we can extract numbers on a given night, and we can insert something else. I actually have a section where I honor the world's greatest entertainer, and I have the opportunity to sing Candyman.
I thought you were talking about Cats and I. Oh, sorry.
I would have put an S on that.
I was going to say, geez, you're really playing our shows? And I'm just kidding.
I love you. No, but I can substitute different songs for that moment, and it does change. As I've been doing the show for the past couple of weeks, I've I find that a lot of the character sketches that I'm doing, they morph and become more substantial with the effect that the that they have on the audience.
Response.
I'm learning how these characters work with people and what it is that the audience would like or likes from these characters. So it's changing, and I think it will ever changing. It's a really special thing. And that's what's cool about being in Vegas. You know, in New York, we would have had to freeze the show by now. There's a point in previews where you, you know, they have to freeze it, and it says, okay, this is it. This is what the show's going to be. We're going to rehearse for the next 4 days or do previews for the next 4 days, and then we're going to open the show, and it's going to stay like that. But with this project, it can be ever-changing, and right. That's really special.
Right. You had to freeze ice over at Riviera for a long time. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. John Katzlamitis and Tricia McCrone and the great Eric Jordan Young, star of Shaken, classic Vegas remixed with a twist, playing daily 5:30 p.m. Wednesdays through Sundays at Sin City Theater at Planet Hollywood. I want to bring up a show that we're both fans of, Eric Jordan Young. It's closed by the time we hear this show, and it's the one, Georgia on My Mind,
yes.
Over at the Venetian.
Yes.
I just saw that. It has closed Wednesday night, a month before expected.
Mm-hmm.
It's been cut short. Multi-talented show, tribute show, Clint Holmes, Nina Freeland, Take Six, Kurt Whalen, great band, Las Vegas All-Star Choir, the whole ball of wax.
Yes.
We've seen this show. It's fantastic. Didn't sell tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a thing that we were talking about last night. I was talking to Clint Holmes about this, about that show. And we were thinking about the value of talent in Las Vegas. Do people really value talent? And you're a talented man, as talented as they get. Are you concerned that this show is facing the same, on a different scope, different level, the same challenges that show and that type of show faces in today's Las Vegas?
Absolutely. The way I learned about the closing of the show was through your tweet, honestly. And my stomach sank. I find it to... It's so heartbreaking that a showcase of talent on that level has to experience closure that early, especially when it wasn't anticipated and that they wanted to have a longer run. It's daunting. For me, I've been asked the question a lot, honestly, is how do I feel about my talent and the how difficult it is to survive in this town. It's very scary, but my answer is, if I don't try, I will never know. I'm just taking this shot, and I'm hoping that there are people out there that have the same desire that I do to be entertained. I would love to go see someone who's singing, acting, dancing, and entertaining an audience at the same exact time, all as one big gigantic package, and this big piece of cotton candy that is so sweet that they just leave feeling happy and elated and joyful. I know that that's what Georgia on My Mind did for people. It made them feel good. It made it celebrated not only classic pop superstars and soul superstars, but you know, it's a very difficult business, and we're in an industry that has a lot of risk. And you know, one of the things that I find to be different about Las Vegas and New York is that it seems to me that here in Las Vegas, people will gamble on your failure, but in New York, they seem to gamble on your success, and that's a little bit scary to me because everybody is deserving of the opportunity to succeed, and I think that if you don't try, you will never, ever know. So this is my moment where I'm trying. This is not a gesture of ego. This is a gesture in the exact opposite direction, in that I am sharing a piece of my soul with people, and I'm trying to open up the opportunity to entertain to the masses. And I find that Las Vegas is a welcoming community for that, and that people all over the world come here to be entertained. They really want to leave here having had an experience that they never dreamt of. And maybe I can be a small sliver of that experience. It's a scary thing, but if you don't jump in the pool, you're never going to know how warm or how cold the water is.
This is the show you want, right? That's on stage now. Is this your ideal way to present your talent?
I think it's everything for me is in stages. So this is a great place to start. This is a great way to share with the community and share with the world and expand my horizons. I would love for this show to have more dancers, a larger band, of course. Why wouldn't I want that? I've sung with the New York City Pops. I've sung with symphonies all over the world. So who wouldn't want to sing with as many instruments as possible? Who wouldn't want to dance with a large ensemble and sing with a bunch of backup singers as well? But this is a really amazing place to start this show. And I feel that it's a fun and colorful and lively start. It's a show that I feel really good about. I'm happy as hell right now. I can't even tell you. I'm just walking around the world feeling like I have an opportunity to share something of myself with people, and that's the whole goal of being an entertainer.
Is the fact that this is a busy room, other than your show, help you generate buzz about your own show? I mean, you've got a lot of other... I think the last show I saw at Sin City was a Nirvana tribute band, and then the time before that was the comedy show.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that happens in that room, and there's more coming. Is that good for you, to have a lot of other acts that are playing in that same venue?
I think it can't be a bad thing. But honestly, I have to tell you, I really don't know. I'm not sure. The thing that I can say about Sin City is that they are packaging their shows in a way that they are multifaceted. So, you may have a rock show, you may have a comedy show, and then you have an entertainer show, or what a lot of people in this town would call a headliner show, like mine. Yeah. So I think that it is an advantage on all fronts.
It's cross-promotion in that?
Yeah. Yeah, but at the same time, it is a very, it is a busy room.
Mm-hmm.
And, the biggest thing is to really get it out there and let people know that I'm there.
Right.
That's probably the hardest thing in this market, is for people to know that I'm on the mezz level at Planet Hollywood doing my thing, and to get over to the Sin City Theater, because that's the most difficult part of it all.
Let's go over the times and the days and all of that again.
Absolutely. It's Eric Jordan Young. The show is Shaken, Classic Vegas Remixed with a Twist. Daily or nightly, depending on your view of day and night, 5:30 p.m. Wednesdays through Sundays, Sin City Theater, mezzanine level, Planet Hollywood. For you long-timers, used to be the Aladdin.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And kisses to Kilian Pasha.
Yes.
Thank
to
you.
To our Rhodesian friends, Ridgeback friends. And we will see you Monday night on your
yes,
media night.
Yes, we're excited.
And kick the tire then.
I'm very, very excited. We can, if it's a ship there or something, we can blast some bottle of champagne.
That's hit it on the side of the stage.
Yeah. Exactly.
Have John Payton show up with a mop. Thanks again, Eric Jordan Young.
Thank
Shaken,
you.
Shaken, Classic Vegas, Remix with a Twist. We love Las Vegas.